Amen. How's everybody? Let's try that again. How's everybody? You glad to be here? All right. What did the colonists wear to the Boston Tea Party? T-shirts. If you cross a patriot and a dog with curly hair, what do you get? A Yankee poodle. All right, enough with those. Say that again. Americans drank as much green tea as they did black tea. Is there a joke in that?
No.
Oh. Okay. I was waiting for the punchline. Trivia. Gotcha. Thank you. Well, here's one for you. A young minister in Kentucky was asked by a funeral director to hold a graveside service for a homeless man that had no family or friends. And the funeral was held at a new cemetery way back in the country, never before used. The young preacher was not familiar with the backwoods and he got lost. But because of his pride, he would not allow him to stop and ask for directions, so he arrived an hour late. He saw a backhoe, the open grave, no hearse, and the digging crew eating lunch. After apologizing to the workers, the preacher stepped to the side of the open grave where he saw the vault lid had already been placed. He assured the workers that it would not take long, but he had to do the proper thing for this burial. The workers gathered around the grave and stood silently. The preacher poured out his heart and soul about, you know, preaching and singing and preaching about a brighter tomorrow and the glory that is to come. And so the men began to shout amen and praise the Lord. That spurred the preacher on to preach like he'd never preached before. He ended the sermon with a prayer and thanked the men and walked to his car. As he opened the door, he heard one of the workers say, "I ain't never seen nothing like that before, and I've been putting septic tanks in for over 30 years." You may have heard that one before. Praise the Lord. I invite you to open your Bible to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23, we're going to be carrying on here with something we started several weeks ago. You know, we can learn a lot from life's experiences. We've talked about it recently, but I've been contemplating my last 30 years in ministry and thinking about the different things that have happened for us over the last 30 years and even going back further than that. But you know, we have life experiences, but how many of you know sometimes we have the interruptions, the inconvenient things, and you know, those experiences have a way of making or breaking you. They really do. How you respond to those things, you know, you can either learn, or watch this, you can become resentful. You know, those are the two choices. You can learn from those experiences, or you can become resentful. And when you become resentful, you become closed off to everything that the Lord has for us. Amen. So you got to watch your response to these things. And Isaiah 55:9 says this, and you can always go back to this. You know, if you're facing a challenge, facing things, situations that you don't understand. Anybody ever been there? You know, Lord, I don't understand this. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Boy, I tell you, that's pivotal. To understand, his ways are higher than your ways. Do you know that word way, if you look that word way up, it's just a simple word, but it means the path. It means the direction. His paths, his direction for your life is so much higher than yours. Anybody in need of a different way? Maybe you're not satisfied or don't like the direction you're going. You know, his way is better. His way produces better results. His way produces lasting results or even perpetual results. Well, by perpetual, we mean it not only affects you, but it affects those that come after you. Amen. So it's important for you to get it right now because it affects those that you know, it affects your kids and your grandkids. So get it right. Amen. It's important to get a better direction. My dad has always been, you know, even with GPS and all those things. My dad still travels with a map in his car. You know, if he gets on a road trip, he'll have a Rand McNally map right there in the car. Paper copy, hard copy. Not talking about on the computer or in the car, he has a hard copy. And it's not unusual, even now, for him, when he gets to the house, he's getting ready to go back home, or so he'll pull out that Rand McNally map. Because he's always making sure that I'm on the right path. Or maybe, you ever had somebody tell you, hey, I know you're used to going this way, but have you found this way? You know, if you go this way, it's a shorter way and less traffic. I'm all about less traffic. Anybody else right now? I'm all about less traffic. And so there's ways that you can go that can save you time. There's ways that you can go with the Lord that'll save you heartache. Amen. His ways, his path, his direction is so much higher and better. So it's important to find the better way. Amen. To find a better way. Our key scripture is found in Joshua 23:14. You remember God had given Joshua many victories. If you go back and study scripture, given him many victories in his life. You know, he was Moses' servant. Later on, he led God's people. One thing that you discover is God always kept his word to Joshua. Well, he always keeps his word to you too. Amen. But I like the way it's said here. Joshua 23:14, it says, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. He's coming to the end of his life. And so this is his testimony. And you know that in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass. Not one thing has failed. Get a hold of that tonight. All have come to pass. Not one thing has failed. If you look back, Joshua 21:45 says, There failed not aught or any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. You know, you can place your family name in there. There has not failed any good thing in the house of Mathis. Right? There has not failed any good thing in the house of Clark. You say, well, it doesn't look that way. You speak it by faith. Sometimes you have to speak things out by faith. Isn't that right? Yes. Sometimes you just have to pronounce the promise in spite of what it may look like. Yes. There has not failed any good thing in the house of Mathis. It all comes to pass. Something you're believing for, something you putting your faith in, something you're trusting God for, there has not failed one good promise. It will all come to pass. Amen. Look over at Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Again, some of this is just review. Want to kind of go back over some things. You know, we see this scripture reference a lot this time of year. We just came through the end of school, graduation, different events like that. You know, a lot of times you'll hear this passage spoke of at graduations and different events. You know, it's also a great passage to turn to when you're facing uncertainty, whenever you're facing tragedy, because it tends to provide comfort and rest and calm and peace and hope. Amen. And so in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, for I know the thoughts. Remember, his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now let's stop for a minute. Just to contemplate, he's thinking about you. Just think about it. He's got you on his mind right now. That ought to bring comfort. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Look at the first part of verse 14. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Amen. Praise God. And so if you're needing hope for the days to come, if you're facing uncertainty, find this passage, read this passage, memorize this passage, speak this passage out. Amen? Because it provides, quite literally there when it says, to give you an expected end, one translation says a hope and a future. Well, you know what a hope is, right? A hope is a belief that there can be a better future. That's what hope is all about, that things can get better. Amen. Things can get better. Well, you know, understand, when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah to write these words, Israel was devastated. They had been held captive for some 70 years, in prison for 70 years, when the Lord gave this promise to them. The last thing that was on their mind was peace for the future. They had been held captive for 70 years. Well, how many of you know Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you're in a situation where it doesn't feel like anything can go right, how many of you know that's depressing? It just seems like all the bad things are taking place, right? Well, the second part of that, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the second part of that says, but a sudden, I like this, in one translation it says, but a sudden good break can turn things around. Thank God for the sudden good breaks. Thank God. Thank God. Have you ever found yourself living in emptiness, depression? Things aren't going right. You're filled with anger, anxiety, and failure, experiencing poverty. Listen, God has good news for you tonight, and that is He's thinking about you. It's thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You say, well, how do I get a hold of that? He tells us right here. It's going to cost you something. Any good thing is going to cost you something. You ever had somebody tell you, I've got something free to give you? And you wonder, well, what is it? Because anything good always costs you something. You ever notice that? See, a lot of times we like to go to these ball games, you get something free for coming tonight, and you get there and it's some little bitty cheap thing, some paper hat or something they're going to give you, right? Anything good costs you something. So you want peace? You want hope for the future? It's going to cost you something. I said it's going to cost you something. So what does he say? We find here in verse number 12, he says, then you shall call upon me. Well, that's number one. You've got to call upon him. Right? We call upon a lot of people. You get in trouble, you call mama. You get in trouble, you call friend down the road, or you call Pastor Mark because you need help. Why don't you try God? Call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. So call. How about we pray? Is any afflicted? You remember that scripture? Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Call, pray. Then what does he say? Pray, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So the answer doesn't come just by accident. You're not going to stumble on an answer. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you calling on Him. It's going to cost you praying. It's going to cost you seeking, right? In the Amplified, in 2 Chronicles 15:2, it says, to make Him our soul's first necessity. See, that's the key. Call upon God as a necessity. You have to have this time with Him. See, you can't maintain an indifferent attitude towards the things of God and expect things to be different. Expect to find a better way. It's not going to happen. Well, after seeing the miracles that God performed in Exodus 33:13, Moses said this. Moses cried out, again, Exodus 33:13. He said, I have found favor in your sight. Let me know your ways that I may know you. See, ultimately, that needs to be the goal of this, is we want what God can provide, but we need to seek after Him so that we can know Him. Amen? Are you with me? Because Proverbs 28:5 says, they that seek the Lord understand all things. See, the result of calling upon Him and crying out to Him and praying unto Him and seeking Him, the result, the Bible tells us right here, is you know all things. You have the mind of Christ. Well, that's the key to finding out the answer to life's troubles and questions and problems is what does He say? Well, you want to know everything? He says right here, they that seek the Lord understand all things. Right? Brother Hagin used to say this, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God's I will to every seeker for full salvation of spirit, soul, and body. This right here is His I will. This is what He wants to do for you. But you got to find out what's in it. Amen? James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer. Remember we said call, pray, seek. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation says, the sincere, continued, heartfelt prayer. The Message Bible reads, something powerful to be reckoned with. Yes. Amen? And then one we're real familiar with in the Amplified Classic, it says, prayer, effectual fervent prayer, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Yes. Oh, glory to God. You need to be a prayer. I said you need to be a prayer. Listen, you have to reach a point in your life. The whole goal of it, find a better way. That's the title of this series. Find a better way. You have to reach a point within yourself where you refuse to live with anything less than God's best. Are you there? I said, are you there? See, there's going to come a time when we all stand before the Lord. I was thinking about this the last couple days and getting this ready. You know, there's going to come a time when we stand before the Lord and we will know and see just what we could have had. Let that resonate with you for a moment. Because I think for some of us, we're going to get up there and go, oh, I could have experienced it. Oh, there was more in that. Oh, there was, hey, we're going to spend all eternity going, huh, can you imagine? Well, you know, the Bible tells us, Paul had this revelation in 1 Corinthians 13:12 when he said, for now we see through a glass darkly. So he's talking about looking in a mirror, and it says, seeing through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. There's going to come a time when you're going to see clearly, and you're going to see things as they could have been. Amen? You remember 2 Peter 1:3-4 says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So it's his desire for you to have this knowledge. It's his desire for you to know the promises. It's his desire for you to have the mind of Christ. So that when you come across these situations in life, then you do understand all things. Right? That's his goal for your life. And then remember, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. The hath means what? It's already been done. Hath means it's already taken place. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice, we read those passages there, but I want you to notice the word all. You see that word all in all those? What does the word all mean? A lot of times we say all means all, right? All means all. But what does all mean? All means there ain't no more. You ever, I was reading this passage today, and I don't know why, forgive me, but I was thinking back to the old Looney Tunes cartoons or whatever. You know, the original ones, the old ones, back in the 40s, you know. And you remember the closing of those cartoons? You remember when Porky Pig would come out? And he'd bust through the drum, and what'd he say? He'd say, that's all, folks. Well, what was he doing? He was saying, there ain't no more. We gave it all to you. We're done. Well, if it says he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings, that means you've got everything. You've got in your hand everything that you need to be a success in life, everything that you need to walk in health and victory all the days of your life. There ain't no more. Amen. See, a lot of times people think, well, I just need more. I just need more. I just need, no, you don't. You need to find out what you already got. Yeah. Our kids got that way, you know. Our kids, you know, were spoiled. We've got a lot of family around here, especially Christina. Christina was the first grandchild. And so let me tell you something. When Christina was born, that girl was spoiled. Because she was spoiled by Aunt Heather and Uncle Doug. Like you would never imagine. They spoiled that girl. And then she had Nana and Poppy. And then she had my mom and dad. And she had aunts and uncles. And she had me and her and Sheila. And she, I mean, the child got everything that she wanted. I'm talking everything. Well, you know, there was a time because her birthday was in November. And so, you know, it was around the Thanksgiving holidays. And then, so she would have her birthday in late November. And then Christmas would be just a short, you know, month away. And so I remember a number of times, you know, loading up two different cars to try to take everything home, you know, from like Christmas or birthday parties. Well, I remember a number of times, you know, her talking about wanting this or wanting that and going into her room and finding that she had stuff that she didn't even remember that she had. I'm talking about opening a closet and finding toys that hadn't even been opened yet. And here she is saying, well, I just need more. I just need more. I want more. And you're saying, you've got it all. I remember birthdays, especially before Matthew come along, that she got everything she wanted. I mean, everything that she talked to us about. You go on the list. You know, nowadays you got Amazon lists. Yeah. Anybody know how to do that? You get on Amazon and you can make your own. I've got Papa's list on Amazon. So if anybody ever wants to get me anything, all they got to do is go look at Papa's List on my account. I've got some tools on there and books on there and different things. Well, you know, you used to handwrite those things. Well, I remember a number of times, Christina, you'd look at her list and everything was checked off. Mainly because Aunt Heather made sure she got it all. She spoiled that girl. Well, the word all means all. It means there ain't no more. So when you think about the things of God and you think about He has blessed us, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, there ain't no more. What you got to do is you got to get in there and find out about it, find out what's already provided, and take advantage of what you've already been given. That's what we had to tell her, is get in there and play with what you already got. Right? So I think sometimes that's what the Lord is saying to us is honey, I want to give you it all, but I already did it. I sent my son to die for you, and as a result, everything that you would ever need in this life was given to you. There's nothing else that I could do for you. I can't give it to you again. It's already out there. So you've got to get in there, and you've got to take advantage of it for yourself. So much has been made available to us, not just the promise of heaven. Thank God for that. Thank God for eternity. Thank God that when we die, and go to we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Thank God for that. But that's not all that salvation entails, right? People have this idea that, well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be good, but what about now? Well, one of the most familiar passages of Scriptures talks about this in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." See, people read that and they're like, oh, heaven's going to be great. I'm going to be able to lay by the stream and it's going to be peace. And He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But watch this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, You comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Yes, can I ask you a question? Is there going to be death and destruction and enemies in heaven?
No.
So is this talking about heaven?
No.
This is talking about now.
Amen.
"Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So He can't be talking about heaven.
No.
Stay with me now. He can't be talking about heaven because there's not going to be enemies in heaven. He's talking about the here and now. See, a table of God's provision is available to us right now. So you have to pull up and you have to partake. You have to pull the chair up and just get a large helping of it all. And let me say this, there's plenty to go around. You ever gone to those meals and somebody comes, you know, the host comes and says, hey, kind of hang back. Hang back and let's make sure everybody gets some. Or you tell your kids, you only get one. Don't you? I remember telling our kids, hey, one. You get one chicken strip. You get one hot dog. Why? Because you got people that are coming through. You want to make sure there's plenty to go around, right? Huh? You want to make sure there's plenty to go around. And so you tell them, hang back. Hey, there may not be enough for everybody. God's not telling anybody to hang back. He's telling us all, you just pull up and get all the healing you want. You just pull up and you just get all the peace you want. There's plenty to go around. There's all the prosperity you want. Plenty to go around. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. Just like that. Amen? Glory to God. You know, I've only been on one cruise. I really enjoyed it myself. I don't think my wife enjoyed it as much as I did. But I don't know. She, something about crowds and people being confined on a big boat, she didn't care for that. But man, I enjoyed it. I really did. And part of what I enjoyed is the endless buffet that's open 24/7. Anybody not been on a cruise? Has anybody not been on a cruise? Tony, do you like to eat? Then we got to get you on a cruise. Because quite literally, 24/7, you can go find whatever you want to eat, and you can sit down, and you can eat as much as you want to. You can eat as much, all the ice cream you want, you just go. You make your own. All the pizza you want, all the tacos you want, all the salad, if that's your thing, I don't know. I mean, as much as you want. It's paid for. You don't have to pay for it again. It's paid for. You pull up as much as you want. It's paid for. It's included in the price that was paid. So you don't even have to think about it.
Amen.
So it's important for you, though, I mean, we've all told the stories about the people that, I can't remember how it goes, but you remember hearing the story, Pastor Mark's read it, I've read it, about the gentleman that got on the cross the seas boat, and he stayed in the bottom, and he ate his little cheese and his bread, and he just barely survived the trip, and then on his way out, and they realized that he hadn't eaten anything, and they said, that even the captain said, "Sir, why didn't you ever come join us?" And he said, "Well, I just had enough to get on the boat, and so I ate my bread and I ate my cheese, but I didn't have enough to go eat." And he said, "But sir, it was included on the price of the ship." So the entire ship, he could have gone upstairs and eaten with everybody else because the price was paid for. Yes. I tell you what you don't want to do is get to the end of this life limping across the line, barely getting to heaven, and then realizing, standing there going, how things could have been different. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me tonight?
Amen. Yes.
You don't want to get to that point. Let's get back to Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil." You know, he's only disposed to do good. He's only inclined to do good. "To give you an expected end, a future and a hope." Again, hope, we said it a moment ago, hope is a belief that the future can be different. Hope is a belief that the future can be different. In the message it reads, that "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil." The message says, a future that you hoped for. So that's my question to you tonight is, what are you expecting? What are you dreaming of? What are you hoping for? Sheila comes to me all the time asking, "What are we believing for?" I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably not the best one to answer a question because I'll go, "I don't know." Anybody else just get up and go to work and come home and do their job and you go, "I don't know." She challenges me now. She challenges me. What are we believing for? I like the way she says that. Not what are you believing for, what are we believing for? We're in it together.
Amen.
Are we? What are we believing for? What is she saying? It's not that today and where we are now isn't good enough. Listen, I love where I'm at. I don't think I'm satisfied. I'm not broken in my body. I'm walking in health and victory. I have my bills paid. At the end of every month, the paycheck, I'm putting money back. I'm taking the grandkids, giving them stuff. Sheila's buying stuff for the grandkids. We don't lack for anything. You understand? We're putting money back for the future. We've got a savings account. We've got annuities. We've got life insurance. We've got all the things, and we still got money. But money's not the end all. What are we believing for? What are we talking about? Because he said his word gives us a future and a hope. A hope is a belief that things can be better. So maybe you like where you are today. It can be better. Or maybe you're facing a challenge. It can be better. So what are we doing? We're finding a better way to better. We're finding a better way to better. What are you believing for? And let me add this. How many of you want to please God? 10 of you? Come on now. How many of you want to please God? The Bible says faith pleases God. What is faith? It's a belief. It's a belief that things can be better. Faith pleases God. God has a great future for you, and he has the plans to get you there. Always know that. See, there's a better way. There's a plan. There's a hope. There's a belief that the future can be different, but he's also giving you the way to get there. Remember the way? My ways are higher. The way, the path, the direction, his plans are so much higher. He has ways to get you there that you hadn't even thought about. Things that you hadn't even dreamed of. You know, really that word, to give you an expected end, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil," to give you an expected end. You know, one quite literal translation of the word expected end means a cord of attachment. It's one guy that I was reading after likened it to an engagement ring. Everybody knows what an engagement ring is. You know, when you got engaged, you gave your spouse or you gave your wife to be an engagement ring. It represented something that was desired in the future. And so, you know, in the spring of 1994, I asked Sheila to be my bride. And so I gave her an itty-bitty ring. So every time that she looked at that itty-bitty ring, then she knew that something better was coming. At least I hope so. That was always the plan. And so I fell head over heels in love with her and wanted to spend the rest of my life with her and wanted to share the Mathis fortune with her. And so I proposed. And so every time that she looked at that little chip on her hand, she was supposed to think, well, things are going to get better. That was a cord of attachment. That was a representation of things are getting better. Better days are ahead. That's quite literally what that means when he says to give you an expected end. It's a cord of it's an attachment to, Father, I trust your word, and this tells me things are going to get better. See, when you're facing those days of uncertainty and you're facing those times, maybe you're a medical situation, or maybe you're praying for a spouse or a loved one or children, things aren't going like you want it to. The cord of attachment, the cord of man, it's not going the way I want, but that cord of attachment, I've to give you a future and a hope, things can get better. That's quite literally what that means. Listen, he has goods that you hadn't even thought about. He has ways that you hadn't even thought about. The best is yet to come. In Psalm 34:8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Yes. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I grew up, my mother was she was a baker. You know, a lot of people, you know, maybe your grandmother was a cook in the house, and my mother was a baker. And so, you know, in other words, she had a cake business. She made cakes and pies and all the delicacy rolls and cookies, and, you know, she had a business. She did all this. And so around my mama's house, it was always, here, try this. Here, try this. Well, you know, we were her guinea pigs, and we were glad to do it. My mama still, you know, just the other day, she took a picture and sent me some chocolate chip cookies. Not actually in the mail like I would have liked, but it was a picture that she sent to me and said, the taste tester said it was okay to eat, you know, meaning my father, you know. And so she still sends me pictures of stuff, you know, baked goods that she's making, and she loves to do it. But it was always, here, try this, or here, taste this, or tell me what you think. Well, of course, being the good son I was, everything was, this is good. And most of the time it was. Most of the time it was. You ever been to a restaurant where people said, man, you got to go try this place, it's really good. And you get there and you go, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me tell you something, you will never be disappointed in him. When you choose to do things his way, you will never be disappointed in him. Amen. Listen, Ephesians 3:20 says, for he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. That's his promise to you. And then in Romans 8:28, it says, for we know that he causes all things to work together for our good. Well, that ought to help you out right there, shouldn't it? Right? But let me encourage you, as we talk about these things, let me encourage you, pursue God, not the good. See, some people get confused in that, and you think, well, man, he can do good things for me. Yeah, that's good, but pursue God, not the good. But here's the other side of that. People expect God to do his part, but are you doing your part? See, you've got to get in a place to qualify for the good things that he wants to get you. And I've found that oftentimes he's been trying to qualify us for many years. What are you talking about? Has he ever had a conversation with you about something, and what are you going to be doing about? You know, maybe he's been talking to you about changing your lifestyle. Maybe he's been talking to you about spending more time in prayer. Maybe he's been talking to you about going to church more. I mean, I'm talking to the choir. You're here on a Wednesday, but you understand what I'm saying? Maybe he's been trying to talk to you over the years. He's trying to qualify you. He wants to get the good things into your hands But he's asking the question, when are you going to do something about this or that or whatever it is that he's been talking to you about? See, I dare say if we gave you the microphone, each one of us could get up and we could give a testimony of, well, the Lord talked to me about this, but I put it off and I put it off and I didn't respond. Or, you know, we've all been there. But maybe it's time you answer that call or answer that with a response of, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, maybe he's trying to talk to you about your finances and he's been telling you the way to get there and you've been going, I like my way better than yours. Well, what results are you getting? Are you listening to me? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy. Aren't you glad for his mercy? For when we do miss it? 2 Corinthians 1:3 calls him the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. I like that. Because it's not just the Father of mercy, it's the Father of mercies. What does that mean? There's more than just one. Right? There's mercy in more than one area. There's mercy for when you're dumb. Anybody ever been dumb? Is that okay to say? I know this is church, but anybody ever been dumb? Anybody ever made a mistake? Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, thank God for the but now have I kept your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, I was dumb. Father, forgive me. I was dumb. I did something that I shouldn't have done. But now have I kept thy word, right? So there's mercies for when you're dumb. Maybe there's financial mercy when you need it. Anybody ever made purchases that you shouldn't have made? Anybody ever, I see some of you going like this. Maybe you made some decisions you shouldn't have, right? Maybe you responded in anger to a situation. We're not looking around, right? Maybe mercy and forgiveness for when you sinned, when you missed it. You ever had to appeal to his mercy? Well, the Bible says in Lamentations, I think it's 3:23, it says his mercies are new every morning. So go ahead, appeal to his mercy. Father, forgive me. I need your mercy because I missed it again. But you know he's okay with that. That's why it says Father of mercies, and that's why it says his mercies are new every morning, because we're all going to miss it. We're all going to fall short. So you just say, Father, forgive me. I need your mercy. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then the good news is that the sun is going to come up in the morning and we can start all over. We can get on the right path. Amen. Are you with me? I'll tell you this much. Nobody has ever gotten into a mess by listening to God. Amen. In fact, I think all of us have gotten out of a mess by listening to God. Right? Amen. So what do we do to qualify for the blessing? What do we do to qualify? How do we qualify ourselves? Well, this is a believer's meeting, right? This is Wednesday night. I dare say I know all of you that are in here. Everybody believers? Everybody saved? Of course, number one, how do you qualify? Number one, you must be saved. You remember Jesus telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. Of course, number one, you want to qualify, you must be born again. But then over in Psalm 37, I read through, just like you likely do, I read through the scriptures every single morning. And one of my readings this week was in Psalm 37, verses 3-5. This, of course, you've heard me say it before, but this is one of my favorite passages of scriptures here in Psalm 37, verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then it says, so shall. In other words, so shall, and as a result, thou shalt dwell in the land and thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit. So notice, trust, delight, and commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Notice the wording there. How to qualify? Trust, delight, and commit. You know, when you commit to something, you're saying, I'm giving this into your hands. You're entrusting it into the hands of another. Quite literally, the word trust and commit means to roll over off onto somebody else. It means to roll off and upon somebody else. Look over at you're there in Psalm 37. Look at Psalm 62, verse number 5. Psalm 62, verse number 5. says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Notice that. "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us." Joshua 21:45 says, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. It all came to pass." Why? Because they trusted in God. I said they trusted in God. Amen? Place your trust in him. Commit your way unto him. Trust in him. Follow after him. It's always, always, always been about the trust. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved." So trust. Trust is a word that means to rest of the mind. It's a resting of the mind on the sound principles of another. When we place our trust in God, that means we're resting on his principles, what he has to say. And we commit it to the care of another. One person said this, "There is no conceivable situation in which it is not safe to trust in God." Amen. No conceivable situation. Trust always involves a determination of the heart and mind to rest in and commit your way unto another. Praise God. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God. I'll leave you with this. Somebody said we must put more faith in what we do know about God than what we don't know about the future. That's how we can say the best is yet to come. I'll say that again. We must put more faith in what we do know about God than in what we don't know about the future. Listen, we'll go home tonight. We'll think about the future, and you might not get a full picture of what the Lord has for you. You might not understand the days ahead, but you can rest in the promise that when you seek the Lord, he'll show you all things. The scripture says you can have the mind of Christ, and you can know all things. The future doesn't have to be dark to you. I said the future doesn't have to be dark to you. So you can walk into the days ahead with a confidence in knowing that he's directing your path and it's a good path. You may feel lost at the moment. You may feel like you're going down a back road. But you ever gone down a back road and you thought you were going the wrong way and then all of a sudden you come over the hill and it opens up and you go, "Look at there, I knew where I was at all the time." Huh? It happens to us all. But you know, I believe when we follow after him that we have those kind of experiences when you say, "Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, I don't, but I trust you. I trust you. Lord, this doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you. I trust where you're going." You know, the Bible talks about Abraham, and the Bible tells us in Genesis 12, it says that Abraham departed not knowing where he was going. But think about this. Abraham went out not knowing. He didn't know where he was going immediately, but he knew where he was going ultimately. You may not know where you're going immediately, but God knows where you're going ultimately. And it's a good path, and it's a good place, and it's designed just for you. Oh, thank God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We always declare your word is life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it. We are believers tonight. We believe your word. We act on your word. We commit. We trust. We seek after you. And so because we do those things, we qualify for the blessings that you have for us. We are qualified tonight. Qualified to receive it all. It all. We receive it all tonight from your good hand. The Bible tells us you open your hand and they are filled with good. So we partake tonight of all the good things that you have for us. We will not be denied any good thing that you have for us tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So glad you came. Did you get something out of this tonight? Amen. If you need another joke for 4th of July, come see me. I've got two more on here. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Amen.